Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Only three to snap it here on third and long. A four-man rush. Wentz has it. Hit at the line and intercepted. Deshaun Elliott in his first game back has the interception. The Steelers get their hands on more passes than anybody in the NFL at the line of scrimmage. Derek Harmon, the rookie, was the one to get his paw on that.
And here he goes. Another one of those splash plays.
You know, I thought that we put together a good plan, and I thought they did a nice job of executing it. The Vikings got some challenging schematics. They worked to minimize your four-man rush with max protections. I think the adjustments we made relative to the max protections was a major component why we were able to put pressure on them. And so kudos to TA and company, but also kudos to the men. We had a bunch of guys that played hard and made a bunch of plays today, and we needed them.
50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19, Peters Township. Temperatures in Pittsburgh in the high 70s right now, a little overcast. That is Fan Weather brought to you by Pittsburgh's Choice for Affordable Legal Solutions. We'll talk a ton about Ben Cherington coming back and all of that, what that means, the decision-making, why they made that decision on tomorrow's show. I will say, if somebody wants to call in the next hour and sound off on that decision, by all means, at 412-928-9370, my quick take on that is it is just massively disappointing that a guy who presided over year six of a rebuild in which the team went backwards and won only 71 games and had the worst scoring offense in all of baseball and had probably the worst offense in Pirates history and hasn't shown at all that he's able to develop hitters. Case in point, what happened to O'Neill Cruz this year. Case in point, having to dump Key Brian Hayes in that contract on the Reds, who were in the playoffs, by the way.
Also, didn't Hayes' OPS go up by about 100 points with Cincinnati?
Yeah, now ballpark factor too, but still, I mean, that's a big leap. And so it's just a punch to the gut of Pirates fans that the organization believes that this guy is equipped to lead them out of this fog that they're in, where with the Reds making the playoffs, the other four teams in the NL Central have now all made the playoffs twice during the Ben Cherington, two times or more. In the Ben Cherington era.
Pony, I'm going to read you the records here because I, for some reason, was doing a research project this morning while Ace was telling me he wanted to play cars and then ignoring me when I actually tried to play with him. So I did this. Six-year record totals, just very quickly. The Cubs, I'll start best to worst. Milwaukee, 492 and 378. This is starting since Cherington took over, so you got the short COVID year in there, which is weird.
Yep.
Cardinals played two fewer games that year. They're 445 and 423. Cubs are 437 and 433. Cincy, 418 and 452. The Pirates are 365 and 505. They are 53 wins worse than the fourth place team in that six-year span. As you said, all four of those other teams have made the playoffs at least twice. Of the six individual worst seasons had by teams in the NL Central in that time frame, the Pirates of four of them.
I really believe the only way to get people to buy back in now is to spend a lot more money. Because there was a scenario in which if you fired Ben Cherington and hired the right guy with the right resume, yes, people would not love a $90 million or a $95 million payroll or something like that, but they might buy into whatever plan or whatever philosophy or whatever baseball ethos the next guy has who's taking over and think, hey, Cincinnati's in the playoffs, Cleveland's in the playoffs, this guy can build a winner and do it quickly with the pitching they have. Mm-hmm. With Charrington, you can't bring back a team on like an $85 to $90 million payroll and make your fans believe before the season starts that you can win with those guys. I mean, even if they were to get off to a good start, fans would be skeptical because they've seen that movie before with the Pirates.
2 years ago with Shelton, they were playing like semi-meaningful games well into August. I'm going to say...
I get like, okay, good job with pitching. The Horwich trade was a good one. He drafted Connor Griffin. He picked Skeens over Cruz. He found Bubba Chandler in the middle rounds. He found Jared Jones in the draft. I mean, it's not all bad things. But when you don't have a winning record in 6 years and you're going backwards, the bad outweighs the good.
I'm going to say one thing about Charrington returning. Reportedly, I guess what, he's got another 2 years, I believe, under contract?
Yeah, Parado said he's under contract through 2027.
And Kelly just got an extension. We know that in the past, Bob Nutting has, for all other things that can be said about spending habits, paid money, real money, to make people go away.
Hurdle and Huntington.
When he felt they were no longer doing a good job. By extension, I can only then surmise that Bob Nutting feels that not only does Ben Charrington not deserve to be fired, but that he is in fact doing a good job because he has shown a willingness to pay to make what he thinks are underperforming employees go away. So this is not just like a non-dogging of him by the owner. This is a full-throated endorsement, I would say. I don't think you need to say it any other way. The owner is happy, I would think, with the job that the GM is doing. And if that is not how he actually feels, then he might want to explicitly say he's back, but there are conditions and he's got to sing for his supper.
You have, I would say, a 4-year window with Paul Skeens. Maybe it's 5. It's probably not 6. And you've already used 2.
And one might be going down the tubes because of a lockout that's looming.
So you're down. You're in the second half, or you're entering the second half of Paul Skeens' Pirates career already. And you're going to trust Ben Charrington to be the steward during that era of baseball that is so vital. Like, it's... there are some fans who say that they'll be done who always come back. Like, those people exist. But the handling of Paul Skeens by this organization is paramount.
Do you think,
for a lot of fans, and they...
Do you think if they're bad with him and they eventually deal him and they get nowhere near a playoff berth, but he's great, Pony? Like, it's not inconceivable that if they have him for 2 more seasons,
yeah,
he wins 2 more Cy Youngs, yep, and they don't even sniff a playoff berth.
Yes.
If that happens, do you think there will be some small exodus of Pirates fans who will just say, I love this pitcher, I'm a Paul Skeens fan, I'm rooting for whoever he goes
maybe
to?
Maybe. I mean, I already know some people who may or may not work in this building who have said as much.
Ambassador of Doom.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Other people that would prefer not to go on the air.
Like, if we were putting them on the air, we'd have to shadow their face out, and then they'd come on and go,
I, too, will go wherever Paul Skeens goes.
Mike Tomlin, you heard there. And by the way, if you want to call in on the Pirates decision today, 412-928-9370. But it is a victory Monday for the Steelers that Mulsey is treated like another loss because of Mike Tomlin's game management decisions late on Sunday. And we've had some people text in and claim and tweet in that Mulsey is suffering from Tomlin derangement syndrome. And I don't know who termed or coined that phrase or who first brought it up to you, but I think they're right here.
Oh, okay.
Because, and here's why I say that. And I am actually being a little bit empathetic towards your take that I don't agree with here by saying this. If you don't have 8 years of scar tissue, I don't think you're saying what you're saying about yesterday's game. I think it is absolutely a result of them not having won a playoff game since 2016. If the Rams or the Ravens or the Chiefs had won the same exact way yesterday, I don't think that's your take on it. I think you're probably willing to give Tomlin more credit for their unique, unorthodox offensive game plan that worked and had Brian Flores in a tizzy. And the fact that Kevin O'Connell really couldn't flex his muscle as an offensive game caller.
The Vikings didn't run the ball really at all, and Wentz had to throw a somewhat inefficient 46
and
passes.
And you've pointed those things out, but all in the context of Mike Tomlin sucked so bad in the last 5 minutes.
I'm sick of watching, it's probably on the heels of all the one-score game record stuff. I'm just sick of watching a guy say, oh yeah, it should have been easier. And I'm not stupid. I know Mike is very proud of the work he does, and I know Mike is never going to give, especially the local media, which I think he broadly dislikes.
Yeah.
And probably the fan base he's aware of that hates him, he dislikes them, and I don't really blame him for disliking them. I don't think he's ever going to give anybody what they want to hear, which is not just coach speak, I need to be better, where it's like, I made bad decisions and I put our team in a tougher spot than they needed to be. And it just does frustrate me that he'll say things like, we made it harder on ourselves than we needed to, but he will never cop to the fact that his own ignorance of situational football and situational decision-making is the principal part of all that. Somebody said that, our caller Leslie, who said, you dragged me to the dark side and now you've tried to come back a little bit on this particular day and I haven't. She's right. You made me see the light finally. I defended the guy probably longer than anybody in this town. I am sick of watching the same old bleep almost week in, week out, regardless of whether they lose or not.
But it wasn't the same old bleep because he actually, with his offensive coordinator, devised a plan that we hadn't seen them use
before. It was the
same
old because when push came to shove and the game got a little closer than anyone anticipated, he went back to the same things he falls back on. I'll let my defense try to win it. I won't play to win. I'll play scared. I'll coach scared. Which he did. Greg Olsen all but called him a coward for not going
for it. I thought in the moment from my couch that it was like, if they lost the game yesterday and the defense had given up a field goal or a touchdown and they lose, it's the number one thing we're talking about and I'm crucifying him for it.
I'm not giving him a pass because they won. Because I don't think he deserves one. He coached 55 really good minutes, and then he made a series of decisions that I feel like were extremely poor.
Let me make sure I understand you. So he might have I don't think he does, but let's say he has an analytics guy in his headset who says, Mike, it's 4th and 1. We got to go for it here.
Mm-hmm.
And he says back, I just watched us try to get 1 yard on 3rd and 1. It didn't go anywhere. I'm nervous. I don't trust them to get the yard here. You think the analytics person should say, well, yeah, but the percentages are you're not going to get twice in a row?
If there was an analytics person, they'd probably say, Mike, the percentages say you're going to get this. You've run for 5 yards a carry today. The numbers say strongly you need to go for this, but the decisions you
And so if he feels like my defense is going to get a stop, mm-hmm. I think my defense is going to come through. You don't want a coach to trust his gut there.
I don't trust his gut.
But the gut worked, though. You should trust his gut a little bit more because the gut was right here.
I think that the guy lives by that and doesn't always reap the benefits.
Like you will many getting, times say...
I'm not getting paid $17 million to win football games.
I understand that, but But what you're essentially saying is no head coach should really make a lot of money if everything should just strictly be based on the percentages. It should never come down to gut.
I mean, football is obviously a sport where getting guys to be at their best motivationally, like focus, all those things.
And he did that in this game.
It is important. But like, to me, the gold standard franchise in the league right now is one that I would imagine does not pay its coach an exceptional amount of money, like Tomlin money, and I think that's the Eagles.
Yeah.
That is a strong GM, strong process franchise. They're ready to run Nick Sirianni out of town on a rail if they're not winning almost every game. And I know that that's a little extreme because that's kind of Philly fans, Philly media mindset, but I don't think it's that far off from what it should be.
412-928-9370. Does Tomlin deserve praise or criticism for yesterday's game? Here's Mike in Brentwood. Hello, Mike.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.